Listen.
Hello, everyone in Radio Land out there. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are very happy to be with you today. As always, at this time and in the Tampa Bay area, we are 3 p.m. Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. We are on other times. Saturday morning usually, and you can check your listings in your area for StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And welcome every listener today. We have a great show. It is Christmas season, always a great time to do these shows about the birth of Jesus, and so exciting. We look forward to it every time. So we've got several that are going to join us today, and by several, I mean several of our radio team. Nathan, are you on the air with me?
Yes, I am.
There you go. There's the first one right there. Brother Nathan, we have missed you so much. He has been suffering some physical issues for a while and took a break off of our radio team, and it is wonderful to have you back with us today, Brother Nathan. Exciting to have you here. Kind of cool.
It's wonderful to be back, Pastor.
Yeah, really good. Really good. And we are going to be joined by Cindy in a few minutes from Indiana, and Nan's in the studio, and she sometimes talks and sometimes doesn't, but she's here. And Betty will join us at 4 o'clock. So, Nathan, we got most of the gang here today. It's pretty cool.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Always fun. Cool. Always great to be here on the show. And today we're talking about the birth of Jesus. There's so many exciting things around his birth. So much to talk about. And we're going to be in the book of Luke. And so we welcome you, if you have time or you can get to your Bible, to follow us along in the scriptures. That is great. If you can't, that's okay. You can just listen to the Word of God today. And this show is always about God's Word, filling us, renewing us, changing us, bringing us life and hope and joy and peace. And Nathan, you and I, we've been working together now for, over 10 years, probably 11 or 12. And it's a joy to every time to talk about the Word of God, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, there's so much that God, you know, how he touches us and fills us and gives us strength.
Oh, the Word just changes us, doesn't it? It's one of those things when you're living in the Word, you're walking in the Word, you're studying it, you're teaching it, and you're listening to it and all of that, the life that comes from reading and studying the Word of God changes you. It really does, doesn't it, Brother Nathan?
Yes, it does. I mean, it helps you to grow.
Oh, yeah.
Become more and more like Jesus.
Amen. Absolutely, it does. And just gives us a joy unspeakable, you know? That's what this season's all about, is that joy also. And a couple weeks ago, we were at the nursing home ministry, and you were back playing the keyboard. And wow, how much did you enjoy that as all of our residents there at Palm Garden sang so beautifully? How did that bless you?
Very much. It blessed me very much.
It does, doesn't it? It really does. it's just great to be able to just sing these Christmas carols, these songs. We're going to start the show with a really cool Christmas song today, and Shepherd Boy by Ray Bolts. And I love that song. It's really cool. Nathan, why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin today? Would you do that?
I'd be glad to. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this glorious outreach that you've given to us in the radio program. And we pray that everyone listening will receive a blessing today. And those that do not know Jesus will come to know him today, because he was the greatest gift given to us during this season that we celebrate. And we just thank you and praise you for that, Father. And we thank you and praise you for your word, which will feed us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's get to this first song. It's cool. Here we go. Shepherd Boy by Ray Bolts.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Problems come, and dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand. And things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow.
Praise God. Woo! Great song, Shepherd Boy by Ray Bolt. Some of you may be saying, hey, I thought this was Christmas time. What are you doing a song about David about? And Nathan, we have been studying how God promised David that he would bring the Messiah through his line. Little ordinary David, not a spectacular person as he began, I suppose, but as the years went on, David just showed over and over again his absolute faith in God, didn't he? I mean, it was just amazing. And it applies to our audience, doesn't it, Nathan? Comment on that, will you?
The fact of the matter is, David was a person just like us.
Yes.
And maybe not so much like us, because he was a murderer, adulterer.
Right.
He did so many things that there were human things that maybe we would do or maybe we would not do.
Right.
And I, for one, would not do.
Right, exactly. Sure.
But God chose him.
Right.
That through his line, the Savior would come.
Exactly.
And God chose him because David's heart was pure towards God.
Amen.
God said he was a man after his own heart.
Right.
And it was like, my goodness, you know, when you think about the life of David, I mean, compared to our own, well, there's no comparison.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that the takeaway from this song and from what you're saying is that God has a plan for every single one of us, Brother Nathan. Yes, it does not matter how bad you feel you have messed up your life. God has a plan, and we're going to see that with Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth today. We're going to talk about Zechariah for just a second, and we start off talking about David because God made a promise, and he said, David, I'm going to bring the Messiah through your line. God used that man, David, and absolutely wants to use every single one of us in ways so that we can bring Jesus to others. Don't you think, Nathan? I mean, we need to be aware that we have the ability to present Jesus, maybe not even verbally, maybe with a hug, with a smile, with a prayer time for someone, whatever it might be. We have the ability to present Jesus, especially at this season.
Yes, we do. And this season is a wonderful time to do it because it's all about the gift of God.
Right.
As we give gifts to one another, we can think about the gift that God gave to us.
Yes.
And his son, Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, the gift of salvation. Even though he was a baby, he was born to die for us.
Right. Absolutely.
And we could have a relationship with God. And
right.
Think about the thought of that is so overwhelming for me because, you know, I know that I could not let one of my children die
right.
for the salvation of the world. I just couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
Well.
I mean, I love God and I love the, you know, people of the world and I love my children. And
you're just expressing your humanity, you know?
Well, yes, I guess so.
And I think that's the point we want to make, that God has used, in this Christmas story that we're going to talk about here in just a minute, God has used ordinary people. He has used ordinary people like David, who God promised, because he had a heart after God, God promised the Messiah would come through his line. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we remember this prophecy through the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, it was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that God would send Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, and he keeps his promises. Nan, did you get a poem during that song? Hang on just a minute. Let me get you on here.
Okay.
All right.
This is not about David, but
all
it's
right.
about a result through David.
Okay,
and of course,
cool.
It's about Jesus.
Go ahead.
What do you see in the gift I gave? What do you see in the gift of my son? Is it a small child? Is that what you see? Look deeper into the reason for the season. Please realize that you can be free. He came as a little babe to this earth to become the king of your life. He will engulf you with his love and peace. He will help you with all of your strife. During this time of giving to others, truly realize why he came here. Wrap yourself around the true reasons. Hold him so close to you. Hold him dear.
Whoa, that just brings it personal right here to us. Thank you, Nan. That is exactly. Nathan, doesn't that do that? It just brings it right home, which what we need to. Because Christmas season so often gets so kind of entangled with shopping and all of that. It does. And we tend to forget that this gift that God sent in his son is the reason why we even have this big celebration this week. It is all about God's decision to bless us, you know? So,
exactly.
Oh, all right. Let's talk a minute. In Luke 1, we see the book of Luke opens with a story about Zechariah and about his wife Elizabeth. And without going into a lot of detail, because we have taught this story different times through the years. They're on our radio shows back the last few Christmases. You can find the story. But what is interesting in Luke 1 is that Zechariah and Elizabeth were older. They had no children. They were not able to have children. Zechariah was a priest, and it came time for him to go to Jerusalem and actually do his priestly duty, the one time in his life where he would be going into the Holy of Holies and ministering. And because he did that, during that particular visit, which is another example of God's perfect timing in our lives, here we see Zechariah getting a visit by an angel. And this angel talks to him, and we see a lot of angel visits here, don't we, in the first couple chapters of Luke. Nathan, don't you see? I mean, there's so much. The angels are busy, you know?
Yeah, they are. But they had to be, because they had to proclaim what God was planning.
Exactly. And this
you
is...
know, and they had to tell these people what God was doing in their lives.
Exactly. And, you know, what gets your attention more than a visit but from an angel? I mean, really. And this is the angel Gabriel that comes to Zechariah, and he says, you know what? You and your wife are going to have a child after all. And Zechariah argues with him. And this shows our humanity, doesn't it, Nathan?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
How so often when God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do this in your life, I'm going to promise you this, and this is going to happen, and we go, who, me? No, that can't happen, not me.
Yeah.
Do you want to comment on that, Nathan? Because I think we're all kind of that way.
Well, you know, God being God, you know, you think, man, you know, how could he possibly bless me with something so tremendous, so wonderful?
Right.
You know, because for one thing, we don't feel like we deserve it.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
You know, and Zechariah felt like he and Elizabeth were too old, but...
Exactly. Too old and this was an impossibility. And what does that speak to, Nathan? That speaks to us being so bound down to this earth and the earthly humanity expectations, the earthly stuff that we all just get kind of held down by. You know what I mean?
Yes, we did. Well, yeah, being because we live here in this earth, we were born here on the earth, and we live here in this earth, and we have Satan and Adam's original sin within us.
Right.
That brings us down. It's hard for us to think the way God thinks.
Exactly. It is.
You know, it's hard for us to receive God's word even, you know, because God's word is God's thinking.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's one reason I love to teach this story of the birth of Jesus every year, Nathan, because it reminds us that when God has a plan for us, we can fight all day long, but God is going to see his plan through. He may do unusual things, like he does here with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and cause them to have a child, and they were well up into their years, whatever that means, I don't know, but whatever age that might be. And even Zechariah, down in verse about 18 of Luke 1, Zechariah says to the angel Gabriel, do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is an old woman. And so it wasn't the same reaction that Mary had. There is a difference here. Zechariah says, are you kidding me? You expect me to believe that? Oh, come on now. You know, there is so much doubt in Zechariah here. It is like, no way. Don't you understand how old my wife and I are? I mean, go ahead, Nathan. Go ahead.
Well, and it was an angel that was talking to him. This guy is just so incredible. An angel is telling him this, and he's still doubting.
Oh, I know.
Arguing with the angel.
That's exactly, you know, right. Till the angel says, okay, that's enough. Here's what's going to happen in verse 19, and then we're going to get Cindy in here. I think she just... You in there, Cindy? Are you on?
Yep, just come in. Yep,
all right. You. Okay, we'll get your take on this. In verse 19 of Luke 1, Zechariah says to the angel, you expect me to believe this, and then the angel says, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. Boy, if that's not a little slap, isn't it? Like, okay, fine. You choose not to believe me? Here's what's going to happen. You're not going to talk anymore. And isn't that great? Nathan, comment on that, and then we'll get Cindy's comment on that. I think it's interesting that the talking ability of Zechariah was stopped. Talk to me about that.
Well, the fact of the matter is our words have power.
Amen.
Because, I mean, that's how God created us.
Yes.
Like him,
right.
Our words have power. And so, therefore, in order to keep him from speaking words of doubt, Gabriel, shut him up.
Shut him up.
He said, him up. He could not change what was going to happen.
He said, no way, you know, you're not going to be talking anymore. Right.
That's right. That's that your son is born.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Cindy, yeah. That says a lot about us as humans, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes it's better to say nothing at all.
Right.
If you can't speak words of faith and words of blessing. You know, that's just the same with us now. It's better to just not say anything at all. Just like Nathan said, to spread doubt and fear. It's just better, just shut us up.
Shut up, exactly.
Yeah, we're the same way. Just shut up. If you can't, it's like we're taught as kids. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all.
Right, there you go. Because, Nathan, you're right, both of you are right, our words have power. Okay, and when we speak what God says about us, and we're going to see this in Mary, in her response in a minute, contrasting with Zechariah, Zechariah didn't say, wow, God, this is a great promise, and I don't care how impossible it seems, I'm going to believe you're going to do what you say. He didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that at all. In fact, he just said the opposite. What are you kidding? Are you talking crazy? Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. You know, he is discussing the humanity, the human response here. Where is the faith of Zechariah, who was the priest, who was in there ministering before the Lord? Whoa. What does that say about religious people, too? Whoa. Wow. A lot of times, maybe a lot of people are all talking, you know.
And no accent.
Yeah, maybe. What do you think on that, Nathan? And then we'll get Cindy's take on this. This is
a
human response.
There's a lot of religious people.
Right.
And religious leaders that are powerless because they don't believe.
That's right.
They don't believe.
Right.
And so therefore, the things that they say and the things that they do have no effect.
Right. That's right.
You know, I don't know how they even got into the positions they got into, but they're there. And because they don't believe, you know, God says, okay, that's fine.
Right.
I'll show you.
Right. And what's so interesting to me is when God sets a plan in motion, I mean, here in this case, he was not going to let his plan be thwarted by the humanity of Zachariah's mouth, you know, where Zachariah was going to talk himself and Elizabeth out of their miracle, you know. And so often we do that. Cindy, talk to me about that. I think that we have the tendency to get our eyes off of the promise and the what God has told us, and instead we get our eyes on the impossibilities, in our eyes, what seems impossibilities. Don't you think, Cindy?
We just get so down on ourselves and down on our circumstances, so negative. And I'm dealing with that with someone in my life right now, a family member. That's just, so everything is so negative. Looking at the circumstances of how bad things are.
Right.
Poor, pitiful me.
Right.
And if you keep speaking that into your life, it's like what you put on the wheel, you get back on the wheel.
Right.
You keep putting the negative words, the negative thoughts, the negative attitude out there, and this is what you get.
Oh, absolutely.
And instead of looking, things could be so much worse. Things are tough right now, but if you would just get a hold of God's promise and what he says he's going to do.
Amen.
And believe that it's going to happen.
Right.
Just sit back and shut up and wait for God to do what he says he's going to do.
Hey, I like that, Cindy. Yeah.
I'm really dealing with this with one of my children, as a matter of fact. And
right.
It's so negative, and it's just, I get exhausted being around her, the negativity.
Right.
No matter how much I speak positive words to her or positive into her situation, and I know it's going to pass. I'm a witness to it's going to pass, and you will get through this. The negativity that she surrounds in her life and words out of her mouth, it's just so exhausting to me, because I know she's only bringing more negative to her situation. She's it is just making her feel bad.
Right, it does.
It has a hold on you physically. When you mentally just beat yourself up and you're so full of negative words and thoughts, that's what your life is about.
Right.
You just feel miserable. You feel miserable. And you can't shake that. No matter how much positivity another person tries to help you, if you don't come out of that negative frame of mind and those words out of your mouth, your situation isn't going to get any better for you until God makes it all come together in his own timing. But why stay in that place of miserable, just a miserable life, if you can change it with the power of your tongue, the power of your attitude, the power of you thinking more positive and doing something positive?
Oh, I agree.
When you get up out of the bed in the morning, if you choose, you know, I've read this in words, you know, social media and all of it, put it out there, and it's so true. You choose happiness.
When you get up today,
choose to be happy.
Right.
Choose, no matter how negative my life is or my situation, I have the power to make myself happy today.
Right.
I don't have to let other people or my situation bring me pain today or unhappiness.
You know what?
I choose not.
You are so right on. And I think that right here in Luke 1, we see God showing us this concept. If you can't be positive and can't be, just be quiet, just shut up, you know, because Zachariah has to shut up, and he has to shut up for 9+ months. And I think a lot of that has to do with his wife Elizabeth here in verse 23, because he goes back home after his priestly duties were done, and it says it was not long before then she did get pregnant. And then the next sentence in the Message Bible says she went off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. And she said, this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition. She gives God the glory. She goes away from Zachariah and leaves him in his pity party that you've been talking about, Cindy. I mean, this had to be kind of revolutionary for her to get pregnant and leave town for 5 months, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, talk to us about this. I mean, Elizabeth gave God the glory. Woo!
Yes, she did. And that was a total contrast.
Yes.
To Zechariah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and obviously, you know, she hung around Zechariah. He probably would have brought her down.
At least he got her pregnant, and then she moved out of town for a while.
Yeah, she said, let me get away from this. And she went out wherever she went. And she just relished the fact that she was pregnant.
Yes.
She was so happy about it. She was overjoyed that she gave God the glory.
Well, I think there's a principle right here that I'm seeing here maybe for the first time in this story. So often, Cindy, the people that we're talking about, that you were just talking about in your life, and we all have them, who want the attention from their pity party and want to just moan and groan and be depressed and discouraged, they want an audience to hear it and to get in there to the pity party and suffer with them and tell them, oh, you poor thing, this is horrible. I can't believe you're having this happen. And what's interesting is God shut up the pity party mouth of Zechariah. Elizabeth didn't even stay around to hear or even have him write on a tablet his negativity to her. I mean, she leaves town. And I think this principle is interesting because so often we think we're doing people in this kind of state a favor when we hear them out over and over and over again. Talk to me about that, Nathan, and then we'll go to Cindy for her comments on that.
Well, we're not doing them any favors. when they come to us and they pity party, you know, a pity party is not a good place to be.
No.
And generally, the only person that attends the pity party is the one who's having the pity party, and no one else wants to attend.
That's right.
I mean, because we want to be happy.
Right.
We want to be up, and we want to be positive. We want to be, you know, we want to live a life that's full of joy and happiness. And if you listen to somebody going over and over and over again how miserable and how terrible life is, it can bring you down.
That's right.
So you don't want to be part of that.
No.
You don't want to have to have anything to do with that.
You got to let it, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, that Elizabeth leaves like this and doesn't subject herself to that. And because she was a part of this plan of God to bring the Messiah. And she was carrying John the Baptist is the child she was carrying, which was the forerunner who was going to announce the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus. They were first cousins, and they were second cousins. They were 6 months apart in age. Very, very interesting, all of this. Cindy, comment on that before we go into we're going to go to verse 26 next of Luke 1.
Well, you know, I'm Elizabeth. I shut him down. You know, it's like this child of mine. I let her know. You know, it exhausts you when you hear this coming from someone.
Oh, yeah.
And you're around it all the time. You just got to get away from it.
Right.
You know, she knew, Elizabeth knew that the Lord's word was true. The angel had spoken God's plan to her, and once she conceived, she got a hold of that, and she knew the truth. She wasn't going to let anybody stand in the way of her joy and giving God the glory for that. And you know, that's how I treat people. When this family members start coming at me with this stuff, I just shut them down. I'm not going to listen.
Good for you.
I'm not going to partake. I don't have pity for you because I know it's going to pass.
Right.
That you're going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and build up your pity. I'm not going to contribute to your pity party. I'm trying to bring joy to you. And you know what's funny about that? Me trying to bring joy to those people and let them know I'm going to be happy anyway regardless because that's what I choose, they get upset.
Oh, yeah.
They
it makes them mad.
Angry.
Yeah, oh, it makes
they
them mad.
Angry. They get makes them mad. And they get mad at us for being happy, if that makes sense. I mean, they really get upset. And I guess that's just because they haven't got a hold of the truth yet.
Well,
they don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. They got their blinders on. I don't know. They got this this wall up to where they don't want to let that sunshine seep in. They don't want to let that Jesus get in there. It's like they're so comfortable with the way they feel,
right,
that they just want to stay there. It's really hard to bring them out of it.
I hear you. Uh-huh. Now, let's get to a real good news here about what happened. During the 5 months that Elizabeth is gone, God evidently was talking to Zachariah. Okay? So here's the hope that we all have for situations like this that we have, whether they're our children, our relatives, our parents, whoever in our lives. When we turn them over to God, because I think that is in essence what Elizabeth did. She turned Zachariah over to God and she left to celebrate her miracle by herself. She probably went to a relative's house to stay, whatever. She went somewhere for 5 months. That's a long time. And during that time, Zachariah was alone. And now we come to the birth of the baby. Now she's back home, and we're at verse 57. We're going to go there instead of talk about Mary yet. We're going to get to Mary in a minute. But Elizabeth, in verse 57 of Luke 1, was full term in her pregnancy. She bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with his mercy, celebrated with her. Verse 59, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were asking Zachariah what they were going to name the child, and they wanted to name him Zachariah. That's what people did. They named him after their father. But his mother intervened, and she said, no, he is to be called John. Why? Because in Luke 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Zachariah, he said, you're going to name the baby John. And that means favored of God, or the grace of God on him. So in verse 61, they said, no one in your family is named that. And they were using sign language to ask Zachariah what he wanted him named. He got a tablet. And I don't think it was a Samsung or a iPad. I don't think it was that kind of tablet.
I don't think so either.
Probably a little piece of slate and some kind of a stone or something. And he asked for a tablet and he wrote, his name is to be John. Why? Because he finally came to a place of acceptance of God's
and
will.
An
agreement, right, Nathan?
He
came to the place of agreement with God's plan. And it took everybody's surprise. Surprise followed surprise. And suddenly, Zachariah's mouth is open right then.
Yeah.
Why? Obedience. Obedience.
Spoken agreement.
Woo! Yeah. Talk to me about that, Nathan, and then we'll get with Cindy on that concept. I love this story. Whoa.
Because when Zachariah decided to agree with God.
Yeah.
Then God said, okay, you can talk now because you speaking in agreement to me.
Right.
And speaking with me. So therefore, your tongue is loose.
Right.
Speak on.
Woo!
Dr. Arbum, you know, go ahead and prophesy.
Right. and if we had time, we would get into Zechariah's prophecy, but you all can read it on your own. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 67 down to kind of like 79. It's amazing prophecy. And it shows that Zechariah had a total heart change during those months of silence. He was silent for 9+ months. We don't know how many, maybe 10 or 11. But he was silent all that time. Boy, did God ever get his attention. Don't you think?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. he couldn't interfere with his own mouth.
Right. Oh, it is so good. So good. Talk to me, Cindy, on this. Talk to us. Woo, I love this.
You know, that's what God has to do with some people sometimes. It's kind of like he has to separate you out or take you out of your circumstances,
right?
So he can change your heart, so he can work on those things and clean us up and take those things out of us that are negative and that he doesn't want to be there, so we can start seeing his plan and get a vision for what he has for us,
right?
It's not always a positive move when he does that. And I just am thinking about how he separates us out sometimes, not just shuts our mouth, you know, literally like he did Zechariah, but what if he sets us in prison or something like that, you know? Something has to happen sometimes to stop us in our tracks.
Yes.
Or to set us apart from the situation we're in.
Right.
So in human, you know, in reality now, sometimes those situations occur because it's part of God's plan, so we can stop long enough to hear him, to listen to him. He basically just stops us in our tracks from our normal everyday routine so he can get our attention.
I think that's a huge point. I think that God does do that. I think that there are times in our lives where we have moments and times of solitude where we find ourselves spending more time alone. Maybe we've been betrayed by a friend or lost a spouse or whatever the case may be, and we are finding ourselves more and more alone. If we look to God and say, God, I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I'm going to make the most of this time alone, and I am going to grow my relationship with you, and I'm going to listen to what you have to say. A lot of us have a lot to say, but we don't have a lot of time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, Nathan.
We don't take the time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take the time to listen.
Right.
Everyone has got the same amount of time.
Right. Well, there's,
you know,
yeah.
God's not making more time.
Right.
But he allows us to choose what to do with the time we have.
Yes.
Either we're going to be yapping our lips or yapping our mouth, or we're going to take time to close up and pull yourself away and listen to him.
Right. And it's those times. Go ahead.
Get a handle on his plan for our lives.
Right. Right.
Because God will reveal it to us.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to talk more about this listening here in just a minute, and we're going to go to Mary now and talk about her in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And as soon as we do this song, and it's by the group Down Here, and it's entitled How Many Kings? Great song for this season.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected? A child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? Torn all apart. How
praise God. We thank God that He is the one who sent His Son Jesus to this earth to save us from our sin. Praise God. Love that song. Nan got a poem right then, and then we're going back to Nathan and Cindy. Whoa, oops. Hang on. Forgot to have you back on. I'm sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Running these buttons here. Go ahead.
You do a fine job. What my son did for you, precious one, was because he has so much love for you. Let his love engulf you this Christmas season. Through all the hecticness of the time, let it come through. Remember that he came to give you an eternal gift. That's the most important gift you can receive. Of this concept, you need to wrap your thoughts around. Of this fact in life, you need to choose now. Will you choose now to believe? He is the King who came into the world you live in the form of a babe to give you eternal life. He gave his all, coming to the earth in such a way. This season, you can receive this wonderful gift.
Praise God. He did. And oh, aren't we grateful? Thank you, Nan. We never know what God's given her during these songs, and happens a lot, and we're grateful. Nathan, we were just talking about listening and how Elizabeth got away and listened and realized that she was carrying a very important child here. I'm sure God revealed to her the importance of this child, meaning John the Baptist. And now we go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and God sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel's busy. He's got another errand to go on. And again, God's perfect timing. The angel Gabriel goes to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. If you missed our show in the last week and the week before, you can go to our website. Actually, it's still on tantalk1340.com on podcasts, and we'll put it on our website at the end of the month. Go and catch up, because we talked a lot about fulfilled prophecy. And this is a fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah 7:14. 700 or 800 years before the angel Gabriel arrived to talk to Mary, Isaiah the prophet prophesied that a virgin would be born, would be pregnant with a child, and that child would be the Emmanuel, God with us. And here it happens, right here, right on time, on schedule. And Mary was engaged, and when they got engaged during those times, that was the formal contract. And so they set a date on when they were going to be married, but basically they were committed to each other. They did not sleep with each other or anybody else during that engagement time, and then they awaited their marriage. So for Mary to become pregnant and you know, Joseph to think, okay, wait a minute, my engaged, my betrothed here is pregnant, it was huge. This was a huge event. And the man that she was engaged to, of course, was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel Gabriel, the same one that came to Zechariah, spoke to her and said, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, hail, favored one. You're beautiful inside and out. God be with you. What an amazing greeting. Nathan talked to us about that. And this is how God sees us, Nathan. This is how he sees us.
I know.
Isn't this cool?
I know. He sees all of us as beautiful babes.
He does. He does. And that's what he says to Mary. You're beautiful with God's beauty. You're beautiful inside and out. You know, talk to me about that. Wow.
It was for an angel to appear and tell her that she is beautiful, beautiful inside and out, and that God was with her. You know, it just kind of shook her up.
And, yeah.
It kind of shook me up, too. I know, for an angel to say anything to me, it would shake me a little bit.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, it was an awesome privilege
right.
for her to receive those words.
Yes, oh my.
And she did receive them. She didn't reject them. She didn't, you know, say, who, me?
Right.
You gotta be kidding.
Right. Well, it says in verse 29, she was shaken, thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind that greeting. But she doesn't say anything negative. This is what is so cool here, don't you think?
Yeah.
Comment on that, and then we'll go to Cindy for her take on this.
Well, she didn't say any negative words.
Right.
So Gabriel didn't find it necessary to shut her up.
Right. It just says she wondered what was going on. Wouldn't everybody?
Yeah, she wondered.
But the angel goes on and says, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. I love that in the Message Bible. God is the God of surprises. Nathan, you know how many times I've preached on surprises all these years. How God loves to surprise us. Isn't that what Christmas gifts are about? A lot of times, look what's in this box, or look what's in this bag. At our white elephant Christmas party on Friday night, we had a lot of surprises, didn't we, Nathan?
Yes, we did. Some of them were nice.
Some of them were not very nice. This is a nice surprise. Cindy, talk to us about this and Mary and how she must have been feeling.
Well, it just says something about how Mary already felt about herself. You
right.
know, she already loved God.
Yes,
and
she
had
did.
Faith,
yes,
and
yes.
So, yeah, the angel took her by surprise and shook her up a little bit, but it was more like a just affirmation that she felt about herself.
Right.
She didn't respond with "Why me? I'm not worthy. Why would God choose lowly me?" It wasn't like that at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, she just. I think that's just so beautiful how she felt about her relationship with God and how she received it so willingly, as if she felt worthy of being God's chosen to carry that baby.
You're right.
So different from most of the stories that we read, or the reaction of most of the people, even in that we deal with in life. Mary's different. She's already, it's like she already knows her worth in God's eyes. She's already a child of God. I think when we get to that place in our own life, when we love ourselves enough to realize how much God loves us and that he has his favor on us, we see ourselves so much differently. When we look in the mirror or we go about our way each day and know how much we're loved by God, we just carry ourselves different. We have
that
smile.
You're right.
We have that joy.
Yeah.
We just have that knowing, a peace of mind that we are worthy.
Amen.
It's just wonderful.
I love the fact
to be in that place.
I agree. I agree with what both of you are saying. And I love the fact that Mary did not doubt and did not put herself down. And the angel just says, Mary, you have nothing to fear here. God has a surprise. You're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. And he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. Now the angel is quoting Isaiah 9:6, which was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Mary came, was around. And what is cool here is Mary recognizes the word that's coming out of Gabriel's mouth, which tells me Mary had a heart after God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the angel of the Lord, or God, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. Well, he found one here in Mary. And when the angel quotes this scripture, all of a sudden, Mary is going, oh, that's who I'm going to be pregnant with. And because the angel says he'll be great. He'll be God's Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. And Mary knew the word enough that she realized this is the Messiah. Whoa. We got to realize that the Messiah wants to make contact with each of us and come and live on the inside of us. This is such an important time of year for us to reflect on how this event in Mary's life not just changed her life, but down through the ages, so many countless numbers of people, and God wants to change your life, listener, with this event. Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Nathan, and then we'll get to Cindy, and we got to... Whoa, I can't believe it's almost 4 o'clock. Whoa, go ahead.
Well, God wants to touch the life of each and every individual
yes.
on the earth. Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
He wants them to realize that he loves them, that he loves us.
Right.
And he loves us so much that he sent his son through the Virgin Mary
yes.
to be born to die.
Right.
I mean, because there was no, the Bible says, without shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin.
That's exactly right.
And the only blood that was perfect enough or without sin was Jesus' blood.
Amen.
And it was his blood that was made a sacrifice for
right.
our sins so that we could receive him, receive
exactly.
this gift that God has given us, his
mm-hmm.
son Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As we receive him into our lives, we are forgiven of our sins and cleansed of all unrighteousness.
Right.
And we are given a right relationship with God.
Amen.
And God doesn't remember our sins anymore. He doesn't.
Whoa.
He throws them as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
And every person that receives this gift has this within themselves.
Amen.
When they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yes.
Because that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He was the Savior of the world.
Amen.
And if the world would receive him, they would be saved.
Amen.
And individual people, I mean, you listener, whoever you are, you know this is the moment of truth.
Right.
That God has said, I will save you if you receive my son Jesus.
Amen. Woo. Well, amen. That's the gospel. That's what this is all about. This is why God the Father sent the Messiah, his son Jesus, to come to this earth. And he found a willing vessel here in Mary who received this pregnancy with joy. Not with like, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? She was only 14, 15, or 16, someplace in there. She was a very young girl. And she does not record any comments here except to say, how is this going to happen? She did not say, oh, this can't be or anything. In verse 34, she just says, how? I've never slept with a man. And then the angel explains how, and we'll do that on the next hour. Whoa, we're so glad you're all joining us today. Nathan, I can't thank you enough for coming back on the radio team. And we've missed you these months. And it's so good to have you back. Cindy, can you second that motion?
Yes, amen. It's good to hear from you, Nathan. It has been a long time.
You too, Cindy.
Yes.
Very wonderful to have you back on the team.
Yes.
The more the merrier, right?
That's right. Amen.
And in listening to all that Nathan was saying there, it's a gift. It's God's gift to us, and it's free to everyone.
Amen.
You just have to be willing to receive it. And
that's exactly right.
It's yours.
Amen.
It's yours.
Amen. Woo! All right. We have got to do a station ID here in just a minute. Nathan, thank you so much for being on this first hour. We'll let you go, and Betty will join us in a few minutes. Yeah, Betty's coming on. But thank you, Nathan. It's been great. And we're going to have a wonderful service at Beacon of Hope this Wednesday night, which is December, 23rd at 6:30. It's going to be a candlelight service. It's going to be amazing. Great music. Nathan, you're singing. We're going to have a great time in the Word, take communion, candlelight service. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you. We are currently meeting at the Ramada Inn in Clearwater. And that's 3580 Almerton Road. And if you have any questions about that, you can text our text number 727-888-4171 for directions or whatever. 727-888-4171. Nathan, thank you so much. Cindy, stick with me. And here we go. Station identification.